It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? It is the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. And I'm your host, Dan Bach. Might know me as DB730, and it's great to be here with you on this Friday's podcast. Of course, this weekend we're heading to Vegas, baby, for the FanDuel Fantasy Football Championship. We will be on location Saturday and Sunday for podcasts, and I am definitely looking forward to lots of stuff out there. I can't wait to meet all the contestants, some of them in person, other, you know, some of them I've already spoken to on the podcast, but it's going to be great to be able to put a face with the voice and plenty of the other new people who I haven't met yet. So definitely looking forward to meeting the whole clan out there in Vegas, and certainly all the guys from FanDuel as well, and we'll talk to them about the event, you know, maybe if they can speculate on what the event's going to be in the future, you know, monetarily wise. I know it's kind of early for that, but I'll tell you right now, there's no doubt in my mind those guys already have a number in their mind for what they're thinking this event is going to be next year. But this year's event isn't over yet, so it's going to be awesome seeing these guys go down to the wire for $75,000. And what you need to do is make sure you come to Roto Grinders on Saturday and Sunday. Like I say, we'll be doing podcasts on Saturday. Probably have a good time talking with a lot of the people out there on the podcast. And then on Sunday, we'll probably do one podcast in the morning, possibly. And then I'll obviously do an interview with whoever wins, and that will probably air on Monday's show. But the cool thing that we're doing is we're going to do like a cover live blog on Roto Grinders from the FFFC. And this is going to be fun. We're going to be telling you all about the different players' reactions, give you some photos, some videos. Of course, I'll be telling you all about my bets that I'll be making during that show. So, you know, during the day, so you can actually follow me and see how much money I end up losing. So we'll be doing all that fun stuff out there. It's going to be a good time. And make sure you check us out right here on Roto Grinders this weekend for all your FFFC coverage. Before we get into my picks this weekend for the NFL, I do have to get on my soapbox because I've got one. You know, not everybody does, but I do. And it's called this podcast. And I have to talk about what went on yesterday in baseball and in the NBA. First off, Albert Pujols and CJ Wilson going to the Anaheim Angels is a huge, huge, huge deal. There's no way I would have given Albert Pujols 10 years, $250 million. But it makes a lot more sense with him going to the American League to get that kind of money than you know, staying in the National League, because there's no chance that he is going to be able to play the field 6-7 years from now. I mean, the guy's going to be a DH probably the last 5 seasons of his career, so it kind of makes sense if you're going to pay that kind of money, at least you can slide him into that position. But you look at what the New York Yankees did with A-Rod, and maybe this is a different situation because A-Rod, as it turned out, was on steroids and wasn't nearly as good as his statistics basically showed he was because he was cheating. Now, I'm not going to say that Albert Pujols did not cheat or did cheat. All I know is he hasn't tested positive for steroids. Now, in the future, they're testing for HGH. Maybe that'll change things. Maybe it won't. Pure speculation. I hope it doesn't, because in my estimation, he's probably one of the top 5 greatest hitters in the history of baseball. But if you look back to the Yankees, they are regretting that deal with Alex Rodriguez. They are dreading the fact that they're going to have to pay him $20 million when he's 41 years old. And there's probably a good chance Anaheim's going to do the same. Now, here's the thing. If Anaheim wins 3-4 World Series before that point in time, they can live with that, because that's ultimately what they're trying to do. And I'll tell you right now, Anaheim is loaded. Not just do they add Albert Pujols and C.J. Wilson. You look at what they already had. They won, I think it was 86 games last year without those guys. And you look at the rotation when you know, this guy, C.J. Wilson, you spend all this money on. He's, what, your 4th best starter now behind Weaver, Herron, Irvin Santana. They've got a young closer in Jordan Walden, probably the top prospect in all of baseball coming up right now. Mike Trout will be playing this next season. Trumbo had a great year. This team is exactly heading in the right direction, and I know a lot of people make a big deal and say, oh, you know, how can you make favorites and so forth at this point in time? But I'll tell you right now, if I when I go out to Vegas this weekend, don't be surprised if I put a little something on the Angels, because Albert Pujols is a difference maker like we have never seen in basically in my lifetime in Major League Baseball, certainly for a guy who is apparently doing it the right way. I mean, he's very much like Bonds was when he was juiced, in that this guy is just such a difference maker in the lineup that there's no way to pitch to him, and especially when he gets locked in. And I think the Angels are actually turned into a really exciting team. And to think that they only have, what, maybe one or two more years of Vernon Wells that they have to deal with, and once they get rid of him, who knows what they could spend some little extra money on. But very impressed by that move. Now, on to the NBA. Highly disappointed. How disgusting was it to see that David Stern came out and canceled this Chris Paul trade to the Los Angeles Lakers? It was absolutely despicable. And to me, this is as disappointing as the entire lockout process was. For no reason in my eyes except for greed did this deal get nixed. Because if you look at the situation, that is absolutely the best deal the Hornets were going to get for Chris Paul. And what this came down to is crybaby owners like Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who wasn't necessarily upset with the fact that they got a superstar. He was upset that they basically lowered their salary cap number, that they were going to be $21 million over the luxury cap limit and have to pay all this money towards the other teams and revenue sharing, and now they're not going to. And that makes me sick. And I know Stern, which it's a total ridiculous situation right now that he hasn't come out and addressed this, but he's going to come out and say, well, we own the Hornets and we're allowed to run this team how we like, and this isn't in the best interest of the team, which is a crock. Because I don't care who you are, even if they're trying to sell the team, they're not going to be worth as much with a Chris Paul on their team, who you know for 100% is going to leave at the end of this season. There's no question about it. And you are going to get zero out of that move. Now, instead, you could get a nice core of players and draft picks. It makes all the sense in the world in pretty much every situation here and everybody who's involved in this trade. Because it's not like the Lakers are pulling a Kwame Brown for Paul Gasol deal. They have to give out Paul Gasol and the sixth man of the year in Lamar Odom. I mean, they're giving up two very, very good players. And yeah, they're getting back a star in Chris Paul, and maybe there's a chance they could go get Dwight Howard, but I'm telling you, I don't think that's happening. I don't think Howard wants anything to do with the Lakers. I think he doesn't want to follow in Shaq's footsteps any more than he has. I don't want to say he's embarrassed, but when the whole Superman thing came out, of course, that was Shaq's moniker. Of course, Shaq started in Orlando. Then Shaq went to L.A. Dwight Howard doesn't want to be the next Shaq. He wants to be Dwight Howard. He's not going to end up in the Lakers. So it wasn't a slam dunk as much as everybody thought in the Lakers' corner in this deal. And the fact that ownership can come out and nix trades, and it's not even ownership, it's the NBA. And like I say, they're going to say it was an ownership move, but it was an NBA move. And that email that Dan Gilbert, that became public, sent to David Stern is proof right there exactly what this move was about. And, where does the NBA go from here? Seriously, where does it go from here? Because don't you have to pretty much nix every other trade? Don't you? Because this wasn't a lopsided deal. It wasn't. So, absolutely disgusting. I have a passion for NBA basketball, for basketball in general. And when I see this, it almost makes me feel like the whole thing is rigged. Because I still don't believe it came down to not wanting the Lakers to be a power broker, to be a big, high, falutin team once again, because they certainly already are. But I still think it came down to, oh, the salary cap numbers. You know, not as Daniel Gilbert wrote, not only did they save themselves a lot of money in salary cap relief, they got the best player in the trade. So it's their fault that they have smarter front office people than you out there in Cleveland. Because you were dumb enough to think that LeBron was going to re-sign with you. If you were smart, you would have traded him in that last year of that contract. That would have been the smart thing to do, but you didn't do it. And look at where you ended up. Have fun with Kyrie Irving and Enes Kanter. I'm sure they're going to take you to the promised land. So that's my beef for the day on the NBA. Let's talk some daily fantasy. Let's get to some picks for this weekend.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game.
Okay, yesterday on the podcast, talked wide receivers, tight ends, team defenses. Today, it's quarterbacks and running backs. Before we do that, though, I got to really kind of tip my cap to Ben Roethlisberger, probably one of the toughest SOBs you're going to find out there. This guy had a high ankle sprain. That's exactly what he had, high ankle sprain. And you know what guys like Adrian Peterson have? A high ankle sprain. And he hasn't played for, what, 3 weeks now? Now, don't get me wrong. His ankles are certainly a little bit more important to what he does in the field than Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Roethlisberger can drop back, hand the ball off, move around in the pocket, make some throws. But, you know, when you're running full blast into linebackers and defensive linemen, you need that full ankle strength. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that he decided to come back and play in that second half in that game was just surprising to me and very gutty. And that's what he's been in his entire career. When he's not been a knucklehead off the field, you got to hand it to Ben Roethlisberger. He is as much of a gamer as I've ever seen, and he did it again tonight, so I had to extend him some props. Let's talk about the QBs, though, I like this weekend. Couple of guys here. Carson Palmer against the Green Bay Packers. I'm not a huge Palmer fan, but he's actually starting to get into a groove out there in Oakland. And been putting up some respectable numbers of late. He went for 301 yards and 273 yards in his last two games against the Bears and the Dolphins. And of course, both of those defenses are much more impressive than what Green Bay brings to the table. So you have to think that he's going to be put up comparable numbers, if not better, against the Packers. And the other reason for that is, well, like most teams that play Green Bay, they're going to be playing from behind, which means you're going to be seeing lots of passing in this game. And if you look at his value, it's pretty solid all around, probably worth a play in a few teams this weekend. Carson Palmer, I think, could have a nice effort. The other one is Matt Stafford going against the Vikings. I picked Calvin Johnson yesterday, so you shouldn't be too surprised I'm going with Matt Stafford today. And it looks like a no-brainer against this lousy pass defense of the Vikings. As long as they slow down Jared Allen a little bit, give Stafford a little bit of time to throw, he's going to pick the secondary apart. And like I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, Tim Tebow looked like a real quarterback against them. So what is a real quarterback going to look against the Vikings defense? He'll probably look like a Hall of Fame quarterback. So there's a lot on the line still for the Lions this season. Anything short of 300 yards, two touchdowns is going to surprise me in this game for Matt Stafford. Now on to the running backs. This is what I like here. Michael Turner versus Carolina. Like most people, LeGarrette Blount screwed me against this horrible rush defense of Carolina last week. But I wasn't totally surprised. I even mentioned on the podcast that I thought there was a good chance Cam Newton could get a nice lead on Tampa Bay, which would basically make them abandon the running game. And that's exactly kind of what happened. But I don't expect that to happen this week in this game against Atlanta. Turner, he has been down the last couple weeks. His numbers haven't been great. So his price might not be as tough to swallow on some sites. But regardless, I think he bounces back 100 yards, 1 to 2 touchdowns in this game. Carolina is not good against the run, and Michael Turner is a guy who can pound it away against them. The next guy is Ryan Matthews against Buffalo. Never fun to start Ryan Matthews because there's always a chance of A, injuries, B, fumbles, and C, Mike Tolbert vulturing touchdowns. But Matthews has looked like a different back the past couple weeks. 137 yards and 112 the last two, and he's got a feast likely against this Buffalo defense that's allowing a ton of fantasy points to running back, so I'm going to recommend Ryan Matthews on Sunday. My super sleeper of the week at the running back position is Khalil Bell of Chicago against Denver. Of course, Matt Forte is out, and most people, though, are going to go along the lines of Marion Barber in this game, but I think Bell could actually end up having the better day. Barber is really good in his current role as goal line back, come in for maybe a series, but I don't think he is a number one lead back, and I think we've seen that the last couple of years, and I think Lovie Smith knows this as well. Now, Khalil Bell hasn't had many opportunities over the last couple of years backing up Forte, but the few times he's actually gotten on the field, he's looked pretty decent, and he'll definitely be in on third downs, and will be getting ton more looks in the passing game than Barber will, and he might be a good cheap flex option on Draft Street or maybe a flyer in a large field guaranteed prize pool tournament, but I think Khalil Bell he's the quarterback from Chicago I probably want in this matchup, and you know his price is going to be cheap, especially in PPR formats. So that's our look at the NFL, and that's our podcast for this week. Not really, though, because, again, we return next or coming up just tomorrow on Saturday and Sunday. Now, remember, we're on Vegas time, so everything's going to be 3 hours pushed back. So make sure you tune us in for that. But before, I do got to thank our good friends at Daily Joust. They are the fine sponsors here of the podcast. They deserve their due. And, of course, I've talked about it all week long. The big tournament over there this week, of course, there are many of them, but the one that I'm really excited about is the Toys for Tots tournament put on by our good friend Brian Saul, who we talked on the podcast yesterday. And make sure you get involved in this, folks. Some of the proceeds of this tournament going to Toys for Tots. The more players, the more entries, that means the more money they get. So it's going to a good cause. You can still win some money for yourself, but make sure you get involved in that, and definitely tip my cap to Daily Joust for doing that. Lots of college basketball action going on this weekend. Got a big tournament on Saturday over there, so make sure you check them out for that and their NHL. And, of course, all the NFL action that they have going on Sunday. So we thank them again for standing by this podcast and being the great sponsor that they are. They're DailyJoust.com. But with that, it is time for us to say goodbye. And do me a favor, put your teams together. Enjoy us. Enjoy the live blog we're going to be having out in Vegas this weekend here on Roto Grinders. And we'll talk to you this weekend. Have a great one, folks.